Very good morning to you and welcome to our worship service this morning.
Good morning.
Yes, weekends are very precious, aren't they? Two glorious days devoid of responsibility and overflowing with possibility. You know, when you live in the cultural center of the world, which is the city of Melbourne, fun galore awaits you. So many things you can do in the weekend. And on the What's On website that the city of Melbourne puts out, this is the official fun guide for the city of Melbourne. Slew of things to you, for you to do, even less than $10. And it's not just for, you know, one splash, but also the weekly splash, what you can do, or daily splash, the things that you can do for the week. And best of all, it is even tailored to the Asians. Why? Because there's an even special splash for free things to do. Nothing attracts the Asians as something free to do. There are so many things we can do here in Melbourne. And according to What's On Melbourne, you can do anything you want on Sunday. Anything, that is, if you're living for yourself. And yourself only. But if you live for God, Sunday is a day to go to church. Church attendance, like what you are doing right now, is your statement that God is your priority. Church is God's people connecting with God and with God's family. Something happens here that's not available on What's On Melbourne. Christians, we get charged and recharged by God and one another to continue living in faith in the coming week. Recharge is the key word for us to think about today, because Mondays to Saturdays, they kind of have a way to drain us out. They pull us away from God. Sunday is the day that draws us to God. And honestly speaking, for that matter, we think about Sunday as an important day for you to be drawn to God. And so it's a very difficult thing to say, but I want to say it. If coming to church here doesn't make a difference in your life, if you don't feel coming to ECCS recharges you to empower you to face the coming week, then consider attending another church that gives you that empowerment. Now, of course, that also means that ECCS, we have to improve and minister better so that people who come will feel recharged and encouraged and empowered to continue on. Today's scripture, Psalm 122, verse 1. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. A lot of people are recharged on Sunday, even here in church. But maybe sometimes they are only partially recharged. So today we're going to think about being fully recharged on Sundays. And let's pray first as we go into that. Almighty and gracious God, we echo the psalmist that the Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble, because he who sits enthroned between the cherubim is the one that shakes the earth. For great is the Lord, exalted over all nations. We come before you to praise your great and awesome name. And we come before you, Lord, to be recharged, reshaped, and reformed by the power of the risen Christ. Come and do your work in us today as we think about the importance of connecting with you, being refreshed on Sundays. Among all the many things that we can do on Sundays, according to this word, Lord, let us put you first by making Sunday your day in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today we've come to the fourth and final part of our 4S2T sermon series. I've adapted this series from back on track a series by a Journey Church out of New York City. Now 4S2T stands for Four Steps to Transformation, aims to help you grow from Sunday Christians to everyday Christians by addressing the four parts of your day, and Sunday, I guess, is part of the week. And we have God's word to help us in this endeavor. This is the theme verse for our scripture. Before we get there, let me just assure you with this very simple illustration, we're not asking you to, you know, join a monastery or do crazy things like moving mountains, like the stone smashing, but it is something like just a feather just floating easily through the air. And we have this word of God from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, to encourage us that I have been flashing this verse a few times. So let us see if we can do that. Read it together and try to do it from memory. Shall we do it? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The God we worship is ever ready to bless us if we so much as to approach God. And let's review what's covered so far very, very quickly, okay? For the part one, the takeoff, we use the word takeoff as our guide. Time to bed the night before, and as we wake up, we approach God first, and we keep God in mind as we start our day, and we keep improving, enhancing our routines, and offer our lives to God as we try to do this. Now, part two is about making your day meaningful, like an airplane's flight, throwing points from WORK. Work for God, operate with God in mind throughout the day, whether it's good or bad, and by your performance, making your reputation above reproach, approaching your work with excellence and with integrity. And finally, to kick up another notch at your work. That means offering your life to God as God's witness. And last Sunday was about rest, probably the least thought about things in our busy world today, but yet it is so important to rescue your rest time from work and to enter your home with thanksgiving. I shall not sing the same song today, but if you want to, you can sing later on. And to continue to persist and stick with this flow of your pattern, your routine, your habit, and end each day not completely exhausted for yourself, but making a time out for God. And today, we're at the last step, the service. No airplane can continue to function unless it is regularly serviced, going through maintenance. For Christians, that's the church, C-H-U-R-C-H. Obviously, now church is not about greasing your joints or, you know, tightening your screws and bolts like the airplanes. Rather, it's about godly deposits. Offering up our worship and devotion to God is offering up a godly deposit. And fellowshipping with each other and caring with fellow believers is us giving godly deposits. No secret to why we use the terms worship service or church service. However, not only do we offer or give service, more importantly, we receive godly deposits, because the God we worship and devote to gives of himself to us. And even as we take in his presence, his word, and his sanctification, we also receive godly deposits from those around us. This is indeed a multi-dimensional service as we think about worship service and Sunday service. So Sunday service is much more than the rest that I've talked about last Sunday, about your weekday rest. Sunday service is more like your downtime when the airplane goes into the hangar for maintenance. As you step off your regular treadmill and devote yourself to God in offering as well as receiving godly deposits. And that's where church comes in, from which word I'm drawing today's 4 points of CH. You are CH. First, CH. CH is, church is my priority on Sunday. Church is my priority on Sunday. That means I protect Sunday in my schedule. You have to protect it because there's so many things screaming at you, rushing at you to try to take your time from God away on Sundays. Many things compete for our Sundays to occupy us. Now, firstly, the night before Sunday is usually a party time that really tires us out so that Sundays become our sleep-in. Then, of course, there are sports, kids' activities, tuition, etc. Protecting your Sunday means making Sunday service non-negotiable. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you have perfect Sunday attendance every year. Sometimes things happen, but you have to protect your Sundays. You can't get back on track with your spiritual life without church. Yes, Sunday is a day to do whatever you want, but what you do on Sunday reflects what you want and is a good want to want God. You know, even people struggled back in Paul's time to do what God wants them to do on Sundays. Look at Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. These words were warning Christians against giving up meeting together. So from that you gather, even Christians of thousands of years ago were already struggling with prioritizing Sunday for God. The other things like, you know, lazing around, whether it is fun or homework, all these things, yes, of course, they are very important. But work them around church on Sundays, not replace Sundays at church. Nothing can replace Sunday worship. Now, of course, you miss Sunday worship, you miss church occasionally, but if you do so regularly or permanently, you are setting yourself up for a fall and the consequences. So set aside your excuses so that you get to church. Make God your priority above all else, because God promises us in Matthew 6:33 that God won't shortchange you when you make God your priority. All these things will be added to you if you seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. So, CH is to make church your priority for Sundays. That brings us to you. You is, when you are in church, you give God your undivided attention. Undivided attention for God. In other words, you come to God, come to church, come to worship prepared. The condition of your heart, and I will add even your body's awakeness, depending on what time you went to bed last night, is vitally important for how church service impacts you. I don't have to tell you, if you went to bed past midnight last night, you are struggling now to keep your eyes open. And you may be already thinking about refreshments or lunch, even as you sit here to listen to the sermon. Many Sundays, people come to church or go to church very distracted. The body is here, but the mind is elsewhere. So how to prepare, to get ready, to give our undivided attention to God? Get ready to hear God and feel His presence means you don't come to church being distracted and even worried about other things. Yes, they are still there. Your health, your money problems, your romance or your relationship problems, they're still there. But you don't get distracted by these things. You come to church not with the wrong motivation, as if, oh, I must fulfill this ritual today. We're going to serve Holy Communion. So you just come and perform lip service. You mouth the words, but your heart is elsewhere. Maybe that's why you don't feel or hear God when you come into His presence. So yes, coming to church is important. And yes, undivided attention while you're here is also important. Matthew 15:8 warns, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Saying or doing the right things from only your lips, but not in your heart. And for us to get ready, you don't just start to get ready when you sit down on the chair, right? You have to prepare the night before. Otherwise, we say, oh, I am so glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. As even as you said that, depending on what you did last night, you might be having a headache when you say it. So even as you think about going to the house of God, before you even reach God, the church, before you even actually, as you're ready to step out of the house threshold, you start to even to be able to pray, turn your thoughts to God before you get here to 10 Parsons Avenue. This will, first of all, prevent you from thinking evil things. But at the same time, as you pray to God when you leave your house, these first moments of giving everything over to God can also protect you or strengthen you if you have a flat tire on the way or someone cut you off on the highway. Instead of pointing one finger, you may praise the Lord and pray to God, whether it is spilled coffee or, heaven forbid, even having an argument with someone in your family. So having undivided attention for God starts before you sit down, way before you start driving from your house, way before you start leaving your house, even when you lie down in bed the night before. So come undivided by preparing for it. Next one is R. And R may be a bit of a stretch for you, because it is rock and roll participation. Rock and roll participation in church service. I'm really stretching my imagination here. Rock and roll participation in church service means that you don't just sit there like a zombie, but you participate actively and fully. Participating in church service and undivided attention to God go hand in hand. Participation in church keeps the body and the mind together. Your mind may not feel like it, but when your body stands up, obviously you can't fall asleep, right? And when you sing praise to God, regarding whether you croak like me or you sing like someone, a movie star or some pop singer, it doesn't matter because you're saying praise. Even when you say praise, you cannot but do it with a smile. I want to see how you do praise with an ugly face. Try it. See if you can do it. Praise. You can't, because to make the S sound, you have to smile. So participate. Rock and roll may be from a bygone era, but that just means that you rock on. You actively participate. In order to actively participate, let us think about what can prevent us from actively participating. What is the rock that trips us over when we try to rock and roll? Here are some usual gripes, perhaps, you can identify with that keeps you from participating fully. Perhaps the message doesn't speak to me. This is an irrelevant topic for me. Perhaps it's the songs. They are so boring. Perhaps it's your voice. Or perhaps it is someone sitting inside of you with a high or unusual hairdo that distracts you. Perhaps the sanctuary is too cold or too hot. There can be many things that like a stone or a rock before you can trip you over, can prevent you from rocking and rolling in your church participation, and to require to counter all these obstacles requires a mindset change. Mindset change. This may be a monumental task highlighted by Galileo's discovery 400 years ago. What was Galileo's discovery? It's simply that the earth revolves around the sun and not the sun revolving around the earth. That is a monumental change, because we are now no longer, well, we realize that we're now no longer the center of the universe, but God is. God does not revolve around our lives, but we revolve around God. Our lives revolves around God. That means worship is not about you, but worship is about God. You may croak like a frog. There may be someone's hairdo that is distracting you, or the place is too cold, or the sermon may be boring. I try not to, but sometimes it can be boring. But because you revolve around God, you are not thinking about why this is not to my liking, but why you make yourself a liking to God. So the correct mindset is not just what you can get out of worship, but what God gets out of you through your worship. It's not about what you can get out of God, but what you bring to God in your worship. And the best part of it is, even as we have sung just now, we worship a beautiful, magnificent Savior, we can bring our brokenness to this beautiful God. We can bring our problems. We can even bring our stresses and our issues. But the important thing is, whatever we bring, all these problems, we lay them down at the foot of the cross. Not keeping them all pressing us down, but to let them down so that they do not distract us, so that they do not hinder us, they do not keep us from worshiping God actively. And guess what? When you lay these things at the foot of the cross, you have a greater tendency not to take all these problems back to you again when you leave church. If you keep them with you throughout the worship service, you are trying to say praise with a sour face, guess what? You will leave this place more than likely with a sour face. So how to participate? You sing in a way, of course, we don't have to dramatize, we don't have to show off, but the gestures of how you sing are very telling. It's not about the quality of your voice, but your body language. When you sing, when you sing like this, or your mouth is half open, or when you just, you know, do all kinds of things while you sing, and while you're listening to a boring sermon, perhaps to keep you awake, you need to take notes of the sermon. And for this four sermons, we try to give you a paper with even guides for you to go through. So take notes. You may never look at them again, but at least at that time that you're writing them down, it is going through your mind. Try to write a word and have it not to think about it. You can't do it. So take notes. Don't doodle, don't draw pictures, because that is more distracting than actually helping you to focus. And more than that, come to church ready to serve, because the more you pour into other people's lives, the more you feel things being poured into your life. Offer yourself to be rostered. Look at that beautiful multicolored piece of paper. That's how we roster people to do various things. Now, thankfully, preaching is not one of the roles, so you don't have to worry. Eventually, we could do that. That would be the best thing when that happens. And you can even encourage others to get involved in the church, just to show them nothing except your own inability to do certain things, but you're willing to do it, and now you're doing it. It's great encouragement for those. Whether it's operating the projector, the computer, or, you know, getting the tea ready or cleaning up afterwards, offer yourself and encourage others to offer yourself and give generously. Honor God with what you offer. Whether it is gifts in terms of your skills, your labor, making tea or sweeping the floor, or even gifts as in monetary terms, these are but a reflection and a response of God's love and work in your life. So just as God is generous to us, we try to be generous as well. And for those who are Christians, one way to participate fully is to take the next step of getting baptized. How about that? Or getting committed to the church membership and be a church member. Of course, we're not saying that, you know, one day when you reach heaven, God's going to say, okay, are you a church member? No, no entry. No, that's not what we're talking about. But by being a church member, to be officially as a church member, it is a reflection of your commitment, of your willingness to submit to this church in terms of submitting to the authority, submitting your gifts and your talents for the service of this church. Membership, baptism, these are very important next steps you can do as part of your participation of the church. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, this is what church is about, summed up in a rather long sentence maybe, but still very impactful. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, everyone has a hymn. It did not say everyone has a beautiful voice. No, everyone has a hymn. You just sing as you are. Or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And this is the kicker. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. How to fully rock and roll participate in the church? Give of whatever you have for the strengthening of the church. So, R is for rock and roll participation. It's okay, I'm not making you all dance or, you know, whatever, break dance, whatever, but to participate by offering yourselves as a living sacrifice. To be part of a body. No body can function when when one of the parts is hurting or not contributing. But everyone can contribute. Everyone can participate. That brings us to today's last point, CH, church. This CH is different from that. First one is Christ commissioned to go out. Christ commissioned to go out. It's hard to fully recharge when you only think about yourselves. On the other hand, it's natural for you to want to share the goodness of God you've experienced. Think about how you got to church. I mean, think about how you became involved in the church. Someone invited you. Someone shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you become part of the church. If you come across a wonderful deal, the first thing you will do is WhatsApp to all your friends and neighbors and relatives. Wow, go over there. It's a 2 burgers for the price of 1. And it's only 3 minutes away. Wonderful, isn't it? When it comes to the gospel, when it comes to God's love, we can also do the same thing. Just as you were invited into God's salvation, into church sometime before, you may be that bridge for someone to enter into the same love of God. So shift from thinking about yourselves to others. Think about those who are untouched yet by the church or by Christ. Think about those Christian friends who have gone off track in the service. They are hardly in church. So these are the ones you can help to bring them back. So maybe you can even invite someone to church next Sunday. I know this is revolutionary to invite a friend to church, but it is actually very permissible and very encouraged. Even when you are at church, your Christ commissioned to go out, to reach out to someone, can even happen as you allow God to use you to be sensitive to the needs of others. Perhaps some of you notice someone's down, someone's feeling stressed out, who needs to be ministered to or helped or encouraged. These are the people that you can help them. Whether it is in church, whether it is at work, you know, similar to the flight from Sunday number two, we talk about in your work, you commit yourself to excellence and integrity by having your reputation above reproach. And that's the best witness or the best label that you can get at work as someone who is cheerful, encouraging, someone empowered not to let problems get you down. So it is in that way that you kick up a notch at work and become a witness for Christ. So when it comes to Christ commissioned to go out, Acts 22:15 talks about you will be his witness. You will be Christ's witness to all men and women of what you have seen and heard. Of course, we're not, you know, selling or peddling Jesus to others like some product, but it is a relationship that we are trying to share with others, that Jesus loves us. You never know how people are going through life's problems on their own. And God is so eager to help these people, except that they do not know that God is eager. So you become the bridge. You are not a savior by any means by sharing with your colleagues or someone at church or a family member going through a difficult time now. You are not the light to shine into the dark world. You are just simply reflecting the light of God into these people's light. You are basically just, you know, to reflect the light in the right direction, you are basically just positioning yourself, making yourself available for God to use you. So don't put too much pressure on yourself that you have to convince them or convict their hearts, except to just allow yourself to be used by God. And we don't really, you know, have to be worried about having wise words to say to convince people. Sometimes just the fact that you are listening to them is already such an important function as a follower of Christ. So Christ commissioned to go out as the last point for today, and going out can be going out from the church, can be going out from your desk station, your little cubicle, or even your swing set at the playground. So in summary, for today's sermon, as we conclude the service, the last sermon of this four sermon series, let us revise. So church is my priority on Sunday, that you have to protect it. You have to make it non-negotiable. Otherwise, many things will come in and crowd you out, especially in Melbourne with so many free things to do. And when you're at church, you give God your undivided attention. That means you have to prepare your heart the night before, even the hour before, even as you sit down to worship God. And when you are in church, you participate fully, actively in this worship service, thinking of not the world revolving around you, but you revolve around God. And finally, you shift your mindset off of yourself, but by thinking about the needs of others so that you can reach out, you can go out. You can even start praying about who you're going to invite next Sunday to church. It may not be this church, maybe to your other neighborhood church or whatever. You can even pray for them during the week as you prepare to go out as a Christ commissioned disciple. Several centuries ago, a very wealthy man was thinking about what legacy he wanted to leave for his townspeople, his village. And he thought about it hard and long, and he decided to build them a church. No one was permitted to see the plans or the inside of the church until it was finished, I guess, to make it, you know, something grand and something impactful. So at the grand opening, nobody had any idea what they would see as they gathered and as they marveled at the beauty of the new church from the outside. And when, you know, they entered into the church, everything that is needed, everything that is supposed to be there has already been thought out and included. And it was awesome. People were just awed with the masterpiece of this wonderful church that this rich person has built. But then someone said, wait a minute, where are the lamps? Where are the lights? It's really dark in here in this building. How will the church be lighter so that you see what you're doing? Oh dear, have they forgotten about the lights in the church? At that point, the nobleman pointed to some brackets on the walls of the church, and then every family was given a lamp in those days, a lantern. They are asked to bring the lantern or the lamp with them every time they come to church. Each time you hear that, rich man said, the place where you are seated will be lighted. And each time you are not here, that place will be dark. This is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house will be dark. Today we don't use lamps, we use electric lights. But that does not mean that we come to church without being prepared, that we come to church thinking only of ourselves. Rather, we come to church as our way of coming before God to seek His name, humbling ourselves to pray and to turn from our wicked ways so that we can be healed, so that we can be heard from heaven, so that this little place that God has given us will be healed and be a place for God to heal even more people. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, what a blessing, what a favor indeed for us to be called your children. And Father God, we confess oftentimes as children, especially little children, we think only of ourselves. Help us, Lord, to grow up in our faith, our spiritual life, just as a baby grows up, by taking in food, water, air, and other things in order to grow and develop healthily. Help us as Christians, Lord, to take your word, the living bread for us, to take the living water for our daily lives. Help us, gracious God, to be your vessel, a vessel that is purified for your use. And Father God, we thank you that even as we still fall, even as we still sin against you and people, yet in our brokenness, you can bring perfection by just offering ourselves up to be filled again with the living water that never runs dry. Father God, come and do your work in ECCS, in ECCSians, as we make our Sundays a special day of service, of giving you honor and praise, and also of receiving your goodness and your presence and encouragement from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to commit this church to you, and we want to commit ourselves to you, for we seek your healing, we seek your forgiveness, and we seek your presence in our lives. Every day, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.